Okay, it's good to see everybody here.
Yeah, I wish we had more, but we understand why they're not here. Some aren't feeling well, and some are nervous about getting out in this time during the pandemic. All right, today we're going to talk about a subject called setting your standards too low. And that is a problem we all face. And often we do not expect as much out of ourselves as God does. God has set our standard extremely high, but for us, we just set a standard that we're comfortable with, and we go from there. Well, let's find out about that. See, until May 6, 1954, the 4-minute mile was thought to be impossible. And we're talking about a foot race. On that date, Roger Bannister did the impossible. He broke the 4-minute mile. And within just a few weeks, several others had also run the mile in less than 4 minutes. And the problem is they had set the standard for distance races too low. And right now, it's the mile is probably about 340, 343, somewhere around there, is the current record for a mile. On the high jump, you know, the record for the high jump years ago was 6 feet 10 inches back in 1968. And that was the height at which the bar was set for the beginning of international competition, was usually 6 feet 4. And one brash young man by the name of Dick Fosbury, he came on the scene saying, well, the competition should start where the world record is, and the official world record height. Well, he didn't get his wish, but for the next 8 months, national and world records were broken, and some by that same young brash man. And now it's almost 8 feet for a high jump. That's higher than I can reach. So I can't do that. But anyway, today we look on those old records as an indication that with proper training, athletes were capable of more than they had realized, more than we had realized. We thought it was something else. And so their standard was too low. Now in the spiritual application, see, unless someone trains very vigorously for years, the likelihood of breaking a world record is highly unlikely. Well, we know that's true in this world. But time and again, someone comes along and proves it can be done. Someone's always running faster. Someone's always jumping higher or farther or something like that. There's always records being broken. You know, you look at some of the sports we have, the baseball. There's records in baseball, and some will never be broken, so they say, and yet it happened. I mean, when Nolan Ryan pitched his record breaker, they said, nobody would ever do that. Nolan Ryan did. Then he went on to set the standard way higher, and a few have come close, but not yet. One of these days, a pitcher's going to come along. It's going to break the record. And as they say, records were meant to be broken. And then, of course, in football, there's records set all the time. This or that. Just about any category you can imagine, they've got it in the record book on who did what and how fast they did it or whatever. Anyway, we often fail to realize that God has set some standards for us to live up to. And often we fail because we do not try hard enough. Now, Jesus set the standard. Jesus set a standard for spirituality for us that has been largely ignored. And so when men and women discuss their religion, it is apparent they have set their bar too low, far too low. And it appears that being a Christian consists of merely believing in God, attending a religious service 3 or 4 times a year, not abusing their children or stealing from their neighbor. If you're doing that, you're doing pretty good. And I can tell you there's probably some Christians who feel that way, that as long as I get that done, I'm a pretty good person. And so their standard is way too low. So surely no one can look at where Jesus set the bar for righteous living and compare modern man's standard favorably. Do we measure up? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And before we forget, note in our mind and our Bible that Jesus set a standard that is much higher than man's standard. In 1 Peter 2, it says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. All right. So the New Testament writers constantly remind us to follow his guide. And you notice what it says here. He did no sin. Have you done that? No, we've failed. We have failed. Do we ever speak anything out of our mouth that some could interpret as being guile? Yes, we do. And so, are we measuring up to the standard? No, we're not. But we also know, since he is our goal, he is our standard, that's what we should be trying to attain. Some people don't even try. All right. So you see the words, you get the picture. Jesus did no sin, and we're to follow his steps. We're supposed to go through life without committing sin. Well, the way that's going to happen, first of all, we take God's word and put it in our hearts. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I've implanted in my heart that I might not sin against you. 1 John 4, verse 1. No, 1 John 2 and verse 1. Brethren, the command is sin not. Don't sin. But if we do sin, we do have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so, we're not supposed to sin, but yet we do. And so we're supposed to follow in his steps. We look to Jesus as the example. And that's the standard we compare ourselves with. You know, it's easy to make yourself look good if you compare yourself to someone who's not so good. You can look out there at the drug dealers and the rapists and the murderers and the prostitutes out there. Oh, I don't do that. I'm so much better. You know, like that Pharisee. Oh, yeah, I'm better than the other people. I'm better than this publican over here. You know, that's where we could be. If we set the standard based on what people of the world do, living in adultery, living in sin, practicing all sorts of evil, if we set that as a standard, well, I don't do that, so God must think I'm really special. You're looking at the wrong standard. Paul talked about those who measure themselves by themselves. In other words, they've set up their own standard. Here's the standard I want to live by. As the proverb writer says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. And so, man decides, well, this is going to be my standard that I live by. And whether anybody else lives by it, that's up to them. But some people are like that. They set up their own standard, so they measure their standard against themselves. Even Paul said, that's the wrong place to set your standard. Paul said, it's God is the one who's going to judge me, and he set the standard for me. And so that's what we need to look at. Jesus is the standard. See, someone may suggest that God never expected man to reach such a high standard. Well, if God didn't expect that, why did he give that standard to begin with? Why did he give us Jesus to be an example to us, that we should follow in his steps? Yes, God expects us to do those things. And of course, the reason people bring this up is because nobody's done it. Nobody has ever measured up to the same standard that Jesus did. Now, a few people have been good people, but they realized they sinned. And so they needed to have their sins forgiven and washed away, and they did that through baptism. But just as in the high jump, man does not excel until he sets his sights on a standard that is higher than it has been in the past. We have to move the standard. We have to move the bar, raise the bar if we want to use that analogy. We're going to have to do that. If we want to be pleasing to God, our standard cannot be ourselves. Our standard has to be Jesus. We have to understand that. And so that's what we need to do. So Paul told the Corinthians, imitate him as he imitated Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. And so Jesus lived a life that is worthy of our imitation. And the following traits he possessed should also be ours. Let's notice some things Jesus did. He was obedient to the Father. Can you say that? No. None of us can. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. I mean, first of all, we've got to know what pleases God before we can do those things, right? How are you going to learn what those things are unless you study his word? We've got to know what his word says. And he said in John 14, as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. In other words, back in John 12, he said, I didn't do anything on my own initiative, but I only spoke what the Father told me to say. Now here he's saying, the Father gave me commandment, so I do. I don't have a better idea. You know, mankind, when they hear a commandment of God, they think, well, I've got a better way. I've got an easier way. Or I think I'll do this instead. And that's what man does. And a lot of times, that's what we do. God's given us a command, and sometimes we just basically, well, we're going to do our own thing. He's just going to have to take that. That's all I'm going to give him. So the love of Christ was as great as his Father's love. See, Mark 1:41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, be thou clean. That's right. Jesus was full of compassion. And so we know that. And then, of course, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Mark 10:21. When you love somebody, you're going to do something to help them out. And if you don't love them, you're not going to help them in any way. And so we just kind of twist the logic around. If we never help anybody to get to heaven, can we truly say we love them? Be honest with yourself. Can we truly say we love them? Jesus possessed moral courage. He wasn't afraid to speak up when it was necessary. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly. Yes, he was speaking boldly. There were people trying to kill Jesus. From the very beginning of his ministry, they were trying to kill Jesus. They didn't like him because the people thought of him as a great prophet, and they were wanting to listen to him. And they stopped listening to the Pharisees. And so they sought to kill him. And so we read that in John 7:25-26. And then the Hebrew writer speaks of Jesus. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, sometimes we go through life and nobody knows what I go through. We've all said that, right? When you were in high school, you said, nobody knows what I go through. And then a few years later, when you're having kids, you mommy and daddy knew what they were talking about. Oh, that was so painful to get across. Just even contemplate mommy and daddy were right was almost too painful to admit. But you know what? They were. They knew what we were going through back then. When we were going through there, we break up with our first boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, I'm so devastated by it. Nobody knows how I feel. Oh, yeah, they do. And a lot of people want to say, well, Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through. I'm dealing with all these people at work. I'm dealing with the people in the neighborhood. I'm dealing with all this. Jesus just doesn't understand. Wrong. Says right here. He was tempted like we are, yet he did it without sin. We give in to temptation too easy sometimes. Jesus never did, not once. And another thing Jesus didn't do was shrink from his responsibility. He knew we had a mission. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You know, that's 12 years old, he's telling this to his parents. And why were you concerned about that? I'm doing my Father's business. And he continued to grow that way. And Jesus saith unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Finish the work of God that God had started many years before. And so that's what Jesus came to do. He said, this is my job. My job is to do the will of God who sent me. Now, when we become Christians, this should be our goal also. Our job is to do the will of God who sent his son to die for us. Jesus was focused. He knew what he was doing. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What happens when you turn around and look back? Well, you lose sight of your goal and you start making a mess of things. That's one thing we all have done. We look back sometimes and then we start messing up and doing those things. We got to be focused. We have to fix our gaze in one direction. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 12, verse 2, fixing your gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we need to be focused also. Our focus should be on doing God's will. When we wake up every day and our focus is on things of this world, what things we need to do and filling our bellies and making ourselves comfortable and stuff like that, are we thinking about the Father's will by thinking things for ourselves? No, we're not. We've got to be thinking, what does God want me to do today? I mean, that's how we need to look at each day. Because he granted us an extra day of life. If we woke up this morning, God granted us that extra day. Now, what are we going to do with it? Jump too far. Jesus spoke plainly. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. And then he told others, I said that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so that's what happens. We've got to believe in Jesus. That we don't have to believe in Abraham or Moses. We don't have to believe in anybody else, but we do need to believe in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we have to accept that fact. And so he spoke plainly. He didn't beat around the bush. You know, it's amazing sometimes. We've been watching a lot of experts come on the television screen lately saying, well, this is what this means, or Trump did this, Trump did that, he was wrong, or they're saying anything they're saying is coming out of their mouth. Well, they're supposed to be the expert, they're supposed to know, and they can't even agree among themselves about a lot of things. But someone asked them a direct question, especially politicians, they're bad about this. They ask them a direct question, they hee-haw around and never answer the question. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus told it like it was. And that's what we're supposed to do also. If someone is living in sin, we have to tell them about it. That is our job, folks. Our job is to tell people if they're living in sin. Why? Because their sin will cause them to be lost. Their sin will keep them out of heaven. Their sin will send them into an eternal torment. And if we don't tell them about their sin, we're not doing our job. Jesus was willing to serve. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. A Christian is supposed to be a servant. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. So, Jesus didn't come to be served. Let's face it, Jesus was a king, right? He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had every right to come down and plop down on his throne and everybody just minister to him. He had every right to do that. But no, he came to make himself a servant. John 13:4-5, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. And you remember that story, they were kind of upset about this because he's supposed to be their master and he is washing their feet. That's the slave's duty to do. That's a servant's duty to wash the master's feet. And so when he got to Peter, you're not going to do that to me, Lord. I respect you too much. Jesus said, no, you're going to let me do this. And Jesus did. But he was willing to serve. Now, what about us? When we become a Christian, Yes, the first few years are probably going to be a little challenge for us because we're trying to make out how to make it in through this world without falling back into sin. And so we're focused on getting ourselves right before God. But after a time, we should get to that point where we know what God wants us to do. And part of what God wants us to do is be a servant to others, to assist others, to teach others, to share with others, to warn others. I mean, these are things we're supposed to do as servants. And Jesus became a servant for us. You know, Philippians 2 tells us that he came in the form of a bondservant, being found in the likeness of a man. What was more important to Jesus was his service attitude than his humanity. He came to be a servant, to serve all mankind. And we as well need to follow his example. So these and many other qualities serve as a role model for us. You know, giving us an example worthy of following. That's what Jesus did. And we're given the task of doing just that. And so, once again, the question is, where have you set the bar in reference to your life and your example? I mean, are you content to be just a pew warmer? Do you truly believe that in giving just your leftovers to Christ that you are following his steps? Not when you sit down and examine what Christ did and what Christ taught. No, giving him leftovers doesn't cut it. And hopefully you realize that. See, the words of Isaiah sound so familiar in these times. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. God's standard is so much higher than anything this world has. And that's where we need to be setting and shooting the goal for, is to reach that standard, not this standard. That standard, not this standard. Remember that. It is not time for us to count the cost. Is it not time for us to count the cost of being his disciple? Then get busy with the work he has given. If you don't know what the work of a Christian is to do, just ask. It's very plain and simple. The work of a Christian is to help people get to heaven. I mean, that's the simplest form that we can put it. The work of a Christian is to help people get to heaven. And how are you going to help people get to heaven? Well, you're going to have to teach them the Word of God. So that's implied in this statement. Well, before I can teach the Word of God, what have I got to do? You got to learn it. You got to know what's there. And then you need to know why you need to do it. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. And those people who are lost will not have salvation unless you get them the gospel message. Jesus needs workers. He always has. He's always said, the fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord sends workers. Where's he going to get those workers from? He's not going to go down the unemployment office and say, "Hey, I need a bunch of workers." That's not going to happen. The workers are the people in this room. The people who are members of his church. They're the workers that got to go out and share the gospel message. So the bottom line, Jesus needs you. He needs you to step up, raise the bar in your own life, start living the life that is compatible with the life of Jesus. Not just our own meager human standards, but the standard that Jesus set for us. So, are you focused on your Christian influence? Are you willing to serve? Hopefully you have that attitude. Yes, I'm willing to serve. But you can also have the attitude of some people, "Here I am, Lord, send somebody else." We've heard that a lot of times in sermons, right? But yet, that seems to be how it goes. Well, I want these people to be saved, but send somebody else. Send the preacher to teach them. Send somebody else to teach them. I'm afraid I might mess up. You know, offering excuses. We got a whole sermon on that about excuses. They don't work. They're not going to get you out of your duty either. So, can you with a good conscience say you are following in his steps? Examine yourself, right? That's what we're told to do. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. And so you need to ask that question. Where is my standard? What bar have I set for me to attain? Like I said, we can either attain to this standard, which we're comfortable with, or we can go shoot for that standard where God wants us to be. Consider those thoughts. Just a very simple lesson, one that I think we all can understand. Yes, a lot of times we have set the standard too low, and we haven't really made the effort. But let's change that. Starting today, you have the rest of your life to get that right, okay? So consider that. Consider these thoughts. Anybody who needs to respond to the gospel invitation to confess your sin or whatever, if you need prayers, we stand ready to assist you. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.